All right, good afternoon. The Ombud Court has reconvened for the 1:30 argument in State versus Marty Edward Castaneda. Ms. Raquel, are you ready to go?
I am, Your Honor.
All right.
May it please the court. I'm Andrea Rocchielli, representing the Clark County District Attorney's Office in this matter, and may I reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal, please? Thank you. The district court's ruling that NRS 201-220, the indecent exposure statute, is unconstitutional was an incorrect conclusion because the court's reasoning was based on slippery slope possibilities and hypotheticals rather than practical law enforcement applications. Specifically, the district court found NRS 201-220, which was originally drafted in 1911 and in effect for nearly 100 years, vague and overbroad for purposes of First Amendment protections. The Honorable Judge Bixler found at page AA31 of the appellate's appendix that a person of ordinary intelligence cannot read the statute and make a determination that they can know what conduct is or is not prohibited. Respectfully, the state disagrees. Since 1911 and through constant additions and subtractions to the Nevada revised statutes, reasonable men and women have understood certain conduct to be prohibited. We've known that genitalia and ladies' breasts should not be shown in public when their reasons for their display are not medical or artistically related. Nonetheless, the constitutionality of NRS 201-220 is now questioned. But before we can even look at the statute, we must determine whether or not Mr. Castaneda had the standing required to bring this challenge, and he does not. We have to look for standing under the vagueness theory. As far back as 1974, the United States Supreme Court in Parker versus Levy established precedent that one whose conduct is so clearly within the ambit of statutory prohibitions may not make vagueness challenges. This position was reiterated by this honorable court in 2008 in Ransdell versus Clark County. Citing United States versus Hoffman, this court concluded that a plaintiff who engages in some conduct that is clearly proscribed cannot complain of vagueness as applied to the conduct of others. In this case, Mr. Castaneda was observed in a public place by an eyewitness, in the words of the eyewitness from the preliminary hearing transcript at AA56, rubbing his chest while dropping his pants and exposing his rear end and genitalia not once but approximately 2 to 3 times. The four corners of this statute clearly read that no person may make any open an indecent or obscene exposure of his person or the person of another. Open is clearly defined concept and has already been found so in Berry versus State in the context of the lewdness statute. Mr. Castaneda's actions occurred in public, in front of the Clark County Detention Center in downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. That makes them clearly open. Indecent and obscene are also common words that reasonable people know. Without even resorting to a dictionary and using our own experience, we know that exposing one's penis while rubbing one's chest is an act designed to be sexual. And we all know that public sex acts are prohibited in our culture. We know it offends our culture because society has placed premiums on this same type of action. For instance, movies are rated X, R, PG, etc. And they are so rated to indicate that they have a perceived societal level of acceptability with regards to the obscenity content. Rated X products cannot and are not openly displayed in public, and it has been so for quite a while. We know that materials of an open sexual nature are considered obscene, and Mr. Castaneda's conduct was obscene. Therefore, he has no standing to challenge the statute for vagueness. The respondent's citation to City of Las Vegas versus the District Court. They only allow facial challenges because the statute was so imprecise that vagueness permeated the text. But that is not the case with this statute. The statute is clear. One may not make an act of exposure which is obscene or indecent. Now to the vagueness and whether or not those words are vague. Assuming that this court finds the defendant has standing, under State versus Burdick and similar cases, there is a two-pronged test to determine the statute being constitutionally vague or not. The first is that we look to see if the statute provides adequate notice to the public of what type of conduct is prohibited. The second is that we look to see if the statute encourages arbitrary or discriminatory enforcement. As stated, common men and women know what society deems obscene and what society deems indecent. Whether or not a person agrees with the majority of society in what is appropriate is in apposite to whether or not the statute is vague. Whether or not two people in a conversation could disagree about what obscene and indecent mean is likewise in apposite, because multiple interpretations do not render a statute vague. That coming from Burdock, from Broderick versus Oklahoma, 413 U.S. 601. At page AA19 of Appellate's Index, we discussed State versus Gallegos and concluded that the statute is clear because there are four parts to the statute. The gesture has to be open. Closed acts of exposure are not criminalized. The gesture must be indecent or obscene. Again, the average person knows society's beliefs in this regard. Their gesture must be of exposing, and it also must be made, indicating that it is an act requiring will and not an accidental act. And the exposure must be of themselves or another. Mr. Castaneda's first argument is that because the NRS itself does not define the terms of 201-220, it is vague. But such a statement denies the place of case law, common sense, dictionaries, etc., all of which are tools commonly used by courts to determine vagueness. Further, an examination of the entire NRS shows plenty of places where each individual statute does not have accompanying definitions, yet those statutes remain in effect. Mr. Castaneda's second argument is that because the word person is not defined, an individual could believe that any part of their person is capable of being instrument of criminalization, i.e. their middle finger. This is a slippery slope argument based on extremes. Each individual word is not to be taken out of context in a statute, so we can't just take person and wonder what that means. Rather, the words must be construed in context. Person must be read alongside of exposure. Exposure being the willful act of showing something that is normally hidden. A person's fingers are always exposed. Therefore, using a middle finger is a slippery slope argument of extremes.
Is the stripper in the dance club violating the statute?
No, Your Honor, because that is closed contact. Closed contact is contact.
About the person who I saw not too long ago riding on a swing outside of a strip club.
Would you be talking about in the little trucks that are kind
No, it seems like this was on Las Vegas Boulevard.
And I'm
outside of a strip club, this young lady was riding in a swing trying to advertise the place.
Was she, and I'm not sure if she was nude or...
She appeared to me to have her clothes on, but if her top were off, would
that be... If her top were off, it would be criminal because she's on the street. There's the major difference, open versus closed, consensual versus non-consensual. This statute criminalizes only open conduct. If you were going down the strip and you were to see somebody and you didn't want to see that person because you didn't make the act of going inside of that strip club to give your consent, then that would be criminal, and she could have been fined under this ordinance. Again, the whole statute must be read in context. There must be exposure. There must be a willful act of exposing something, and it must be made. The word made is a very important part of this statute because it eliminates any possibility for criminalizing an accidental action. In 1911, when the statute was written, society had much different standards than what it does now. But as all societies do, our self-concepts evolve. In 1911, exposing your legs might have been scandalous, but is now very common in Nevada and most places in the country, acceptable to see things like skimpy bathing suits, or seeing the tops of G-string underwear through the tops of women's jeans, or seeing sheer clothing that's used on Paris fashion runways. Whether we like it or not, these are part of our society and they are socially acceptable.
Counsel?
Yes.
How about the low-rise pants that we see so frequently that in my mind come very close to exposing the same things that Mr. Castaneda was exposing, but we don't criminalize that. And clearly it's intentional that these primarily young people walk with their behind hanging out.
Correct. And it does all go to societal acceptance. Societal acceptance in this case as like I said, whether or not we like it, whether or not we agree with it, society as a whole has deemed by putting these same types of women on the covers of fashion magazines who wear the exact same kinds of clothes, and the women on the runways who are going to see movies in Los Angeles or Hollywood who wear the exact same kinds of clothes, these are things that have been ingrained in our head as being societally acceptable.
So could the young man described by Justice Sata be arrested in Lund, Nevada, but not be arrested in Las Vegas, Nevada?
Well, Your Honor, I think it has broad applications all over the state. The statute says it has to be indecent criminal treatment or it must be treatment which is obscene. And while, like I said, a majority of people think that that's not obscene because we've patently given it our acceptance by reading the magazines and allowing our movie stars and people of the same ilk to wear these types of clothes, what we have to remember is that, and this goes to the arbitrary and capricious enforcement issue, this is not something that's open to interpretation. A cop on the street knows what is societally acceptable. An officer on the street can see a young man or a young woman wearing these low-rise pants, or can in fact see a person wearing a belly shirt who is exposing their bellies, and they're going to know, based on what common men and women know, that that's societally acceptable. He may not agree with it, he may not like it, but it is what society is. And what the state of Nevada must do and what the legislature must do is to protect what the majority opinion of the state of Nevada is. And if the majority of opinion allows these types of clothes to be worn because our movie stars and the like wear them, then that is, unfortunately, what it is. But that does not make it illegal. It simply
Counsel,
makes
it's
it
a little troubling, though. You keep saying majority of opinion. How do we write that into the statute? How are we to make that determination? We're talking about a very slippery slope. I mean, today, last night, they had an opinion poll. Do you agree or do you disagree with Obama's position on the war? Is it a day-to-day thing? How is a person to know what is acceptable today versus yesterday versus tomorrow?
Well, that's what I was talking about, Your Honor, with evolving. Society has evolved since 1911 when this was first written. Now, as I stated before, in 1911...
Has it been amended since 1911? Has it
It has not changed. During the many additions and subtractions and revisions, it has not changed in major substance with the exception of the addition of the breastfeeding, which was recently allowed. But since 1911, this main focus of indecent exposure has remained in our criminal law.
But this is a criminal statute. Why should we be looking at, quote, popular opinion to make a determination as to whether there's been a violation or not?
Well, popular opinion isn't simply something for the masses. It's also something for the legislature who represents the public.
They haven't changed it since 1911, if I understand your argument.
That's correct. And since 1911, indecent and obscene have had a place in the minds of legislators and of the people who they represent. Indecent and obscene in 1911, as I stated, might have been not wearing long skirts. Now it's not showing your genitalia, not showing your breasts blatantly out in public. We have different standards because our society has evolved. Whether we agree with that evolution or not still doesn't render the criminal conduct to be changed. Now back to the arbitrary and capricious argument. Again, it's a slippery slope that assumes police officers will not do their jobs appropriately. We maintain, however, that they will do their jobs appropriately. The argument cannot simply rest on the fact that a male officer might like to look at a woman's breast and not criminalize that behavior when he would rather, indeed, criminalize the behavior of a man because he wasn't so attracted to them. We can't negate the statute based on slippery slope possibilities and hypotheticals that may not exist and that go way past what is the reasonable enforcement of our laws. It looks like I only have a minute and a half left, and I did reserve three, so at this point I will pass to the respondent. Thank you.
Ms. Porter.
Thank you. Chief Justice Hardesty, Justices, Counsel for the State, my name is Amy Porter from the Clark County Public Defender's Office. I represent respondent Marty Castaneda. NRS 201.220 is unconstitutionally vague and overbroad. I will address each in turn, but first I'd like to respond to the state's argument that Mr. Castaneda lacks standing to address this issue. Mr. Castaneda clearly has standing pursuant to this court's decision in City of Las Vegas District Court. Now, that's, the state has couched this in terms of that a person whose conduct could fit under the statute cannot raise a vagueness challenge with conduct as applied to others. I submit that is an as-applied challenge rather than a facial challenge, which is what is present here. The standard then is different. Mr. Castaneda is facially challenging this statute and thereby saying it is so vague and vagueness so permeates its text that persons of ordinary intelligence cannot determine which conduct is prohibited, and it encourages and authorizes arbitrary and discriminatory enforcement. By making this challenge and saying that as a whole, on its face, the statute cannot survive for vagueness, Mr. Castaneda has standing. Additionally, this court said that with regard to First Amendment concerns, the proper challenge is overbreadth, not void for vagueness. I will next move to the vagueness argument. NRS 201.220's terms are not defined by the legislature. Now, the state says in its brief, well, these terms are self-explanatory. I submit to the court that they are self-defining and therefore inherently vague. The state says, well, then let's look to first the state's own interpretation. In its brief, the state says everyone knows this means buttocks, genitals, and for women only, your nipples. As Chief Justice Hardesty already indicated, there are many other acts where buttocks are shown in Las Vegas. Take a 30-second drive down the strip, and you will see some of the items mentioned as what the state cites to everyone knowing being prohibited under the statute. Second, the state says, let's look to the common law. This issue has not been addressed in Nevada. We have no common law discussing these terms. The state has cited to two cases in its briefs, Vronko and Galbraith. Vronko being a Minnesota case, that case involving an as-applied challenge, distinguishable from the facial challenge being made here. In Vronko, the Minnesota court said that indecent or obscene exposure provides fair notice when as applied to the defendant's conduct of masturbating in public. The same is true for Galbraith. The Washington court said that indecent or obscene exposure, when applied to the defendant's conduct of lewdly exposing himself in front of a child under the age of 15, provided fair notice.
What do you do with Young versus State, which does address indecent exposure of one's genitals and the common law and this statute?
In looking at Young versus State, that involved both open and gross lewdness and indecent exposure. Interestingly, the conduct in Young versus State was the same for all defendants involved. There were four of them. Some were charged, however, with open or gross lewdness, some charged with indecent exposure. And that actually segues into my next argument. We need to look at open or gross lewdness, because what I am alleging is not that the state cannot criminalize certain conduct. And I am certainly not saying that the state couldn't criminalize the conduct at issue in this case.
I don't want to prevent you from going there, but certainly Young suggests that exposure of one's genitals is covered by this statute, and that it is both as a matter of common law and fair reading of the statute that case is on the books as an interpretation. Why is that not a reasonable interpretation of the statute that gets carried forward and gives content to what you're saying is unconstitutionally vague?
First of all, in Young, the issue was not whether the statute provided sufficient notice. It seemed that the court took more of an as-applied interpretation by saying that exposure of genitals clearly fits within indecent exposure. It only addressed the openness aspect and the lewdness aspect of it. So I submit that is a distinguishing factor. In looking to the open and gross lewdness statute, and the state has said, we need to look at the statutory scheme as a whole, and I completely agree. In this statutory scheme, there is open and gross lewdness. The next crime that follows is indecent exposure. The last crime is then lewdness with a minor under the age of 14. Now, this court has recently upheld the constitutionality of the open and gross lewdness statute in Berry versus State. That case was decided after briefing was concluded here. I think that Berry is incredibly important, and that Berry shows the important distinction between the open or gross lewdness statute and the indecent exposure statute. And Berry illustrates how incredibly vague indecent exposure is. Now, Berry says the terms open and gross lewdness are well-defined, and I agree. Berry says that lewdness is unlawful indulgence of lust involving gross indecency with respect to sexual conduct committed in a public place and observed by persons lawfully present. Open lewdness has a sexual connotation, a sexual intent. This is different from indecent exposure, which simply says indecent or obscene exposure. In Berry, this court also said that open or gross lewdness passes constitutional muster because gross modifies lewdness. Gross thereby sufficiently informs people of what degree of lewdness is prohibited. Indecent or obscene exposure has no such modifier. Just like in City of Las Vegas versus District Court, people must then guess at what conduct will be criminalized under this statute.
But on that point, the state seems to argue that either dictionary definitions or prior case law can place contours or outer limits on the application of indecent exposure and therefore make it constitutional. What do you say to that argument?
I say that that argument is flawed, first of all, with respect to prior cases. I have found no case that I believe sufficiently apprises people of what indecent or obscene exposure, when limited to our statute, would mean. The cases typically say that indecent or obscene exposure means indecently or obscenely exposing yourself. The same is true with regard to the dictionary definition. I think that when looking at the indecent or obscene exposure statute, then in context with the open or gross lewdness statute, it is made further unclear. The conduct alleged in this case could arguably have been charged as open or gross lewdness. It fit within that statute. And so because indecent exposure follows after open or gross lewdness, I do not see how indecent or obscene exposure would provide sufficient notice of conduct that it intends to criminalize when that same conduct would fit under open or gross lewdness.
Don't you think the legislature ought to take a look at this statute that was passed in 1911, considering if you accept the state's argument, you'd go to any swimming pool and you'd have to arrest everybody with the thongs, especially some of the heavier people that wear thongs, and also the topless pools. I mean, my God, at the Palm and every place else, I know they've gone in there for certain types of actions, but I don't know if any of them have been open and gross lewdness or have been indecent exposure.
And I completely agree with you that all of these people would have to be arrested the way that the statute is written. However, I think that...
Why wouldn't that be considered a closed forum?
And that's what I was going to say.
Why wouldn't that be like a strip club and it's not an open public forum?
I disagree with the state that a strip club is not an open public forum. Under the case law, a strip club clearly is open. It is open to the public. There is nothing accepting it from being an open public place. With regard to openness, this court has said it's either a public place or if it's in the privacy of one's own home that the conduct was intended to offend the other person. That's what makes it open. With regard to the state's argument, going back to what you were saying, Justice Chariot, the statute is so standardless that I believe it leads to arbitrary and discriminatory enforcement, in that you are correct that a heavier person wearing a thong swimming suit might tend to be cited for indecent exposure. Or a homeless man who is urinating in an alley, he's probably going to be arrested for indecent exposure, much more so than a woman at the Laughlin River Run who is exposing her breasts. This statute, because it is completely standardless, leaves policemen, prosecutors, and juries with unfettered discretion to criminalize conduct that they deem, subjectively deem, to be indecent or obscene. My concern as well with this statute in contrasting it with open or gross lewdness and lewdness with a minor, is that indecent or obscene exposure contains no sexual element. It has no lustful connotation. This is important because in Nevada, a person who makes or is guilty of indecent exposure must register as a sex offender. And this shows that the legislative intent with this crime is that people be punished for sexual offenses. But there is nothing in this statute that limits the conduct that can fall within to being sexually related. And take, for example, a person out on a golf course or running or engaging in a football game or physical activity that suddenly has to urinate and there are no restrooms available, finds a secluded corner, urinates, is also guilty of indecent or obscene exposure because there is no sexual element. Based on the lack of standards in this statute, it is unconstitutionally vague. Next, address overbreadth. NRS 201.220 is also unconstitutionally overbroad. A statute is overbroad when it prohibits a substantial amount of protected free speech in relation to its plainly legitimate sweep. And here, NRS 201.220 fails factor number 4 of the O'Brien conduct test, in that the incidental restriction on First Amendment freedoms is far greater than what is essential to the furtherance of this interest. As this court knows, indecency may yet have redeeming social value. To take an example, the state has said that buttocks are included under this statute. Everyone knows buttocks cannot be shown. I submit, however, as I said before, a quick drive down Las Vegas Boulevard shows that there are many instances of people who do not know that they cannot expose their buttocks.
Well, there's a lot of folks up there at Burning Man.
Yes.
Who I think consider what they're doing an art form protected by the First Amendment.
Yes. And I, the way that this statute is currently written, there is no exception for that. And that conduct would be criminalized underneath the statute. The state cannot at once say that this statute is not vague because everyone knows buttocks are included, but then say somehow that they would be an exception if there were for an artistic purpose. The most troubling is that the statute provides one exception. That is for a breastfeeding mother. And the statute uses the word mother, thus thereby criminalizing any other woman, not a mother of a child, who happens to breastfeed, for example, a wet nurse. The statute is also overbroad because, just as the statute involved in Silver, it has no specific intent element, and I submit that that is necessary. The state says this is just a general intent, in that the act merely only be volitional. That is not enough. For example, with the breastfeeding woman example, that woman would be doing an intentional act of breastfeeding and yet would still be guilty under the statute. And the exception shows that the intent necessary is merely that the act be intentional. The state has argued that, unlike Silvar, where waving, stopping, or waving of arms could be mistaken as manifesting prostitution, there is no specific intent element necessary here. This statute is exactly like Silvar, in that a person pulling down their pants to urinate in public could also be mistaken as making an indecent or obscene exposure of their person. I ask this court respectfully to affirm the district court's decision and affirm the district court's decision and declare NRS 201.220 unconstitutional. Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Pore, Ms. Rocchielli.
Talk to me about thongs in swimming pools.
Sorry, Your Honor?
Talk to me about thongs in swimming pools, male and female thongs.
Well, Your Honor, in terms of those pools, again, I don't believe that's open because one must consent to go up to that pool. One must make the willful act of saying, I want to be around other people who are going to be topless. That's something they have to make the decision to do. The criminal act here that we're talking about is when somebody doesn't want to see these things, or there's people who might not want to see those things. Those persons are the one who the lewdness would offend. Those persons are the one who the obscene act would be obscene to. And so I respectfully believe that those topless pools and the other places like that where people wear thongs, those are places of the people who go to see them have to consent to being.
You don't maintain that Burning Man is closed. Are you familiar with that celebration?
No. Is that the one in California?
No, that's out at the Black Rock Desert with about 60,000 people show
up. It's a Northern Nevada activity.
Okay. Yeah. I'm assuming that the people who go to Burning Man also consent to be around other people who go to Burning Man, and they probably know what the standard of the morality for that area is. So by their consent, it's not open.
So that gets back to my earlier question. In effect, the application of this statute at any locale in Nevada depends on the locale.
Depends on.
If you're in Lund, Nevada, you might get charged. If you're in Burning Man, you may not. Or we don't need to talk about swimming pools. We can talk about Hidden Beach at Lake Tahoe.
May I answer your question, Your Honor?
Please.
That goes back to the whether or not this is arbitrary and capricious enforcement. It should never be arbitrary. Policemen should be doing their jobs. They should be reading the statute and doing what it says, regardless of their personal feelings. If an officer is sent out to the Burning Man Festival
Does this statute give uniformly police officers enough guidance to do their job?
I believe it does, because first it requires that the act be made. Second, it requires that it be an open act, meaning a non-consented act, that somebody who were to see this act would have to be offended by it. People who go to Burning Man, people who go to these topless pools, they know what they're getting into when they go. So it's not an open act. Third, there has to be indecent conduct or obscene conduct. And fourth, it has to be something that the average person, according to societal's mores and norms, would know is inappropriate. Anything else, Your Honors?
Thank you, Ms. Rocchielli, for your argument. Ms. Perret, you as well, and your briefs. We appreciate your input in deciding this case. It will stand submitted.